Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Bill Federer. He is the president of Amerisearch, a publishing company that is dedicated to researching and helping the rest of us understand what he calls America's noble heritage. Bill is also the author and broadcaster of a terrific product. It is called the American Minute. You can hear it in outstanding radio and internet outlets all over the world. He also is the host of a television program called Faith in History and a go-to guy with his books, his various other written products for an understanding of not only our own history, where we came from, but also whence came some of the threats that we're facing, notably from Islamic supremacists. Bill Federer, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio, sir. Very good to have you with us.
Frank, great to be with you.
I was struck by a very interesting piece that you circulated last week, timed with the 14th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in this country. And it connected a lot of dots that I suspect most of us are completely unaware made that date one that jihadists wanted to use as a moment to strike our country in the past, more recently in Benghazi, and quite possibly again in the future. Talk a little bit about that history, Bill. How did we get to the point where that became a date that is so important to our enemies?
Well, it's September 11th in 1565. The Muslims controlled the Mediterranean. They had captured North Africa, which used to be Christian, by the way, Morocco, Algiers, Tunisia, Libya. It was all Greco-Roman, Judeo-Christian, up until the Umayyad Muslims conquered them. Then Muslims conquered Egypt. People forget Egypt used to be Christian, evangelized by Mark, the book of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until Amir ibn Alas conquers it. Jerusalem had been a Byzantine Christian city for three centuries since Constantine. And then Syria was the first country that was completely Christian, evangelized by the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, Antioch, Syria is where the name Christian was first used until Caliph Umar conquered it. And then Turkey used to be the Byzantine Christian Empire until the Seljuk Turks and Ottoman Turks conquered it. And then they conquered Constantinople in 1453. And then they invade into Europe. Of course, the Europeans briefly send a military force to try to stop this Islamic crusade. And it's called the Crusades. And it goes on for two centuries. But then when the Crusades end, the Muslims pick up where they left off, and they surround Vienna, Austria twice. And so we see this encroaching into Europe. Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent controlled this huge Muslim area. And they had one little problem. There's an island in the Mediterranean named Malta. And there's the Knights of Malta. They were actually at Rhodes, and the Muslims surrounded and had a multi-year-long siege against Rhodes. They were pretty brutal. You read the story of when the Muslims conquered Famagusta in Cyprus. The Venetian admiral, Bragadaccio, he realized he wouldn't win, so he brokers a surrender. And so the Muslim leader lets them all come out, and at the last minute he changes his mind and kills all of them that surrender. And he strips the Venetian general and skins him and stuffs his skin with straw and parades it around the street and whips the Muslims into a frenzy. And so, in other words, you can't even surrender to him. And so here's this island of Malta. And they realize, hey, we can't surrender to the Muslims. 40,000 surrounding us. There's only 1,000 defenders. There's the 70-year-old head of them called Jean Lavalette. And he tells his men, this is a fight between the Quran and the Gospels. And anyway, long story short, the Muslims are defeated. Miraculously, on September 11th, 1565.
Bill, there is so much history here, and what it bespeaks is an ongoing effort to do that through a civilization jihad, as you know. Another means by which this agenda of imposing Sharia worldwide is being pursued is through something called the Hijra. Talk a bit about the roots of that in Islam and its practice today.
Well, Muhammad was a Muslim refugee. And people say, what? Well, in 619 AD was his year of sorrows. His wife Khadija dies, and his rich uncle protector Abu Talib dies. And so the people of Mecca, predominantly pagan, They consider Muhammad as disturbing the peace, and they chase him out of town. They pelt him with rocks, throw dust at him, the little kids jeer at him, and so Muhammad flees to a city called Al-Ta'if. And they pelt him with rocks and throw dust at him, and the little kids jeer at him. And so Muhammad has no place to go. He's a refugee. And so there's a Jewish city called Medina. They were nice. They let Muhammad in as a Muslim refugee. He comes in. They listen to him. They reject his faith, but they let him stay. So he migrates into the minority pagan neighborhoods in Medina and begins to organize a following. We're familiar with the term of organizing in the community. He gets a following, and he pressures the Jews to accommodate him politically and make a treaty with him. And so they do. Then something happens. Muhammad's followers back in Mecca, they get argumentative, confrontational, threatening. They're chased out of town. They become Muslim refugees. They come into the Jewish city of Medina. And Muhammad allows his followers to rob the caravans headed back to Mecca in retaliation for the Meccans chasing him out of town. And so by contrast, where Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt, turn the other cheek, Muhammad's attitude was, if they take your house, you retaliate, take their caravan. And so he gets a whole chapter of the Quran, chapter 8, surah 8, on how to distribute booty from robbing caravans. He gets a fifth of the booty. And so when the Meccans send 1,000 soldiers to protect their caravan, Muhammad with 300 defeats 1,000 at the Battle of Badr. And then he goes back into the Jewish city, and he confiscates the property of one Jewish tribe, picks on the one the other two don't like, and so they sort of keep their heads low. If he would have came in and said, I'm going to drive out all the Jews, they would have banded together. But he is smart enough politically to pick on one the other two didn't like. Then he picks on the other one, and this actually set a precedent in Islam because he chases them out of town and confiscates the property. It's called Hudna, H-U-D-N-A, Hudna. It means when you're weak, you make treaties until you get strong enough to disregard them. So when Muhammad was weak is when he came to Medina. Now he's strong, and he chases the Jews out, breaks the treaty. And then he even used the catapult when he attacked a city called Al-Ta'if. And when he told them the catapult was killing women and children, his response was, they are among them, so they got to be killed too. So suicide and ISIS killers say it's okay to kill innocent people to advance Islam because Muhammad did.
Bill, talk about this migration, this colonization, this hijra, as a feature of what is afoot at the moment as migrants from Syria, from Libya, from Eritrea, from others, Muslim nations, are migrating into Europe. And if the president has his way, apparently in quite some numbers here as well.
Right. Europe has gone from a Judeo-Christian past to a secular neutral, and now it's going into an Islamic future. Sort of like a car goes from drive neutral into reverse. So it used to be, you know, Catholic, Protestant, Reformation, Jewish neighborhood, but then Europe became secular with the French Revolution, and Napoleon spreads this around, sort of cuts the ties with the past, and then into Europe comes immigrants. Now, the Muslims are having, on the average, 5 kids per family, or 5 kids per wife, because they can have multiple wives, and they sign up for welfare, so these different European states are paying for it. The number one name for newborns in London, Milan, and Brussels is Muhammad, and the number one crime in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark is rape. Muslim immigrant men raping European women. Most of southern Holland is now Moroccan Muslim. 10 years ago, there were 3 mosques in Germany. Today, there's over 200. And so we see Europe's transition from its Judeo-Christian past into a secular, free-sex, gay, anything-goes neutral, but now it's going into an Islam future. Now we look at America. Hugo Chavez had been bringing Muslim terrorists over from Iran to Venezuela, teaching them Spanish, sending them north. They've infiltrated the drug gangs. They're coming across the southern border. These are the children that the president talked about, these teenagers that are covered with tattoos that are, you know, going into the MS-13 gangs and so forth. And then we see the UN has the World Relief Organization and different things where they take Muslim refugees. There's a website now, resettlementwatch.org, and they're keeping track of how the UN is working with liberal groups and liberal denominations to bring over Muslim refugees.
Bill Federer, your scholarship and your writings are extraordinary, and your time with us is always appreciated. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Giulio Miotti. He is an Italian journalist. We'll be talking about what's happening with respect to Italy and other parts of Europe under the threat of the hijra from the Islamists. So more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.